was another frantic night of top Champions League football. After 43 goals on Tuesday, there were 28 more on Wednesday as Real Madrid and Bayern made it 3 wins from 3 to join those on 9 points. We'll review it all on a night when a number of very exciting teenagers scored their first Champions League goals to make their mark on the European stage. Welcome along with myself, Chris Parrott. Delighted to be joined by the European football expert Andy Brassel and commentator Mike Shule this evening. Andy, to you first. 5 clubs now on 9 points and some serious European royalty really have made their mark early this season and laid down a marker of exactly where they want to be in the top 8 positions.
Yeah, that's right, Chris. And I find it particularly interesting when you look at the way, and it seems a long time ago because they're the reigning champions, the way that Paris Saint-Germain started last year's league phase. I think you look at them and Real Madrid, and they've learnt their lessons from last year, that's for sure.
And they are sitting pretty amongst those clubs on 9 points. Mike, more than 70 plus goals and 2 nights of football this week. It's been one of those evenings you put your phone on and everyone is talking about the competition, the Champions League, as well as the matches. It really has shone.
And there was even room for 3 goalless draws in that.
Yeah.
71 goals in total. We had 43 on Tuesday, 28 on Wednesday. 9 sides scored 4 goals or more during the course of the match day, and defending champions Paris were the highest scorers when they got their 7 on Tuesday night.
Yeah, top stuff. So Wednesday's results: Real Madrid 1, Juventus 0, Galatasaray 3, Bodo Glimt 1, Athletic Club 3, Karabag 1. Chelsea beat Ajax by 5-1 in London. One of those scoreless draws, Atalanta against Slavia Praha. Liverpool were 5-1 winners away at Frankfurt. Sporting beat Marseille 2-1, finished 0-0 between Monaco and Tottenham. And Bayern saw off Club Brugge by 4-0. Let's begin our review at the Bernabeu. The 15-time champions Real Madrid taking on the 2-time winners Juventus. And Andy and Mike watch this one for Matchday Live.
Real Madrid have had much more of the ball and have been in advanced positions as they are now as they come forward. Oh, it's clipped through. Mbappe! Brilliant save by Di Gregorio. Now there's a foot race on between two players and Vlahovic has got away from Militao into the area. And again, it's a brilliant save by Thibaut Courtois when it just looked like Vlahovic might find the net. Vinicius Junior immediately bears down on Kalulu into the area. Vinicius Junior onto his left foot, shoots to the far post, hits the post, but Jude Bellingham is on hand to convert the rebound, unmarked, unhindered. Real Madrid go in front in this encounter, which has been so tight for so long.
A host of defenders around Vinicius Junior held onto the ball with 3-4 defenders around him. It didn't really look possible that he could get a pass or a shot off, but he got that shot off. And Bellingham with a simple, simple task of just tapping it in.
Yeah, the only goal 3 minutes shy of the hour mark. And you heard there in commentary, gents. I mean, sparkling skill from Vinicius Junior. Ultimately, that was the match-winning moment, Andy.
And it always felt like something like that would be the case, Chris, because the way that Juventus defended, they paid Real Madrid the respect they deserved and they came to make it difficult for them. They defended thoroughly, courageously, intelligently, and it was going to take something really special for Real Madrid to really open it up. And we spoke about it in the first half. Is it going to be Jude Bellingham popping up from somewhere that we don't expect? And in a way it was, of course, even though it was created by Vinny Junior. Is it going to be Brahim? Is it going to be Arda Güler, and they had so many options available to them because Xabi Alonso picked this very attacking team. But nevertheless, they were very, very frustrated until that moment of magic.
How big, Mike, was the save at 0-0 from Thibaut Courtois to Denis Vlahovic?
Massive good save. I mean, there were several really good saves made by him and Di Gregorio during the course of the match, but this one was 5 minutes into the second half. Juventus with a very quick breakaway, and it was a foot race between Vlahovic and Militao, and Vlahovic held off the Brazilian to get the shot in from inside the penalty area, and Courtois, just with his outstretched left leg, diverted the ball wide for a corner. He then also made that save right at the end of the game from Kostic as well. And as for the double save by Di Gregorio, it was a night for the goalkeepers.
And it's on a night like this, Mike, I just wonder, when we're always having our discussions with our friends who the best goalkeeper in the world is, do we mention Thibaut Courtois often enough? I wonder if we do, you know.
He's a bit underrated.
He's an underrated giant of the European game, isn't he?
He's immense, as we so often, and if you think back to all of Real Madrid's wins, including in the finals, how often are we speaking about Thibaut Courtois at the end of a game?
Well, you're looking at this situation, if you look at the numbers, Real Madrid have had two-thirds of the possession, they've had nearly three times as many shots as Juventus, but you come out of that thinking Courtois had a great game, that has essentially won them the game, and that's exactly what he's done, and that's what a great goalkeeper is. You know, it's not like keeping goal for a team that's bottom of a league, is it? You're keeping goal for the most prestigious club in UEFA Champions League history. And you know that's going to involve a lot of standing about and doing nothing and perfect concentration to make those saves when you need to make those saves. And that's exactly what he's done tonight.
So Real Madrid, as we've mentioned, 9 points, a goal difference of 7 puts them fifth in the live league table. Juventus down in 25th at the moment, just outside the top 24 who extend their Champions League season, still looking for their first win on 2 points at the moment. It was an excellent game at the Bernabeu, as it was for Bayern in particular in Munich, where they dispatched Club Brugge by 4-0. Vincent Kompany signing a contract extension this week, Andy. You mentioned him in the build-up on Matchday Live, a 17-year-old, 5 minutes into his Champions League bow, scores his first goal in the competition. Tell us, please, about Lennart Kahl. Not just his goal, but just how promising this young German could be.
Well, I think, you know, they've had a lot of talent come through the Bayern Academy at Sabinerstrasse down the years, but people who know are really, really impressed by him. Bear in mind, he was someone who was not expected to be that involved in the first team when they came back for pre-season training. Due to a few absences, departures, he's had more opportunities than expected, but from pre-season, he's grabbed those opportunities with both hands. First UEFA Champions League start to score so quickly, to score such a brilliant goal, the confidence to just go right through the heart of the Club Brugge defence and take a shot from there. That really set the tone for Bayern. They were fantastic tonight. It could have been a lot more.
And how about this, Mike, in terms of the other goal scorers, for the strength and depth they have? Harry Kane made it 2. Luis Diaz made it 3. Nicholas Jackson popped up with a fourth 11 minutes in time, and you can see why Bayern are one of those teams flying with 9 points from 9.
Yeah, not surprising at all. When you've got that kind of firepower up front, you've got Harry Kane, considered one of the best strikers in the world, and then you've got other people who can contribute goals as well. We know Luis Diaz can do that from his time at Liverpool, and Nicholas Jackson. So, yeah, Bayern, very strong position as well. It's looking good for some of those bigger clubs.
20 goals for Harry Kane in 12 games in all competitions this season, which is extraordinary even by his standards.
But you know, those numbers, Chris, don't even describe how well he's played.
Yeah.
He's been brilliant. And I think Luis Diaz is a massive part of that. As Mike was saying, we know Bayern for having brilliant wide players. You know, we think of Ribery, Robben, Zane, Gnabry, who's still there. So many great wide players. Kingsley Coman scoring the winner in a Champions League final. I don't think they've ever had a winger who's threatened to score goals in the volume that Luis Diaz does. And firstly, he's going to score goals because Harry Kane's a brilliant passer of the ball. And secondly, the volume of goals that he's going to score is going to take a lot of the pressure off Kane. And I think it makes Bayern a real threat in this year's competition.
And at 17 years and 242 days, Lennart Kahl, who we were talking about, Bayern's youngest goal scorer in the UEFA Champions League, the youngest ever German UEFA Champions League goal scorer of all time as well. And given some of the players from that nation that have graced this competition, that is saying something. Bayern, very impressive this evening. And just quickly, because coming back to Courtois, actually, but I think his comments probably resonate with Bayern and with some of the other teams on 9 points out of nine. He was speaking before the game, because of course last season Real Madrid didn't finish in one of the top eight spots, and saying, we know where we want to be. Do you sense that in the second year of the league phase, there's been learnings from what happened last season, and some of these true giants have started faster than they did last campaign because they really know what it means now to finish in the top eight?
Yeah, I think they have. And from the perspective of both Real Madrid and, I suppose, Paris Saint-Germain, it was just too close for comfort. They almost didn't make the 24, did they? Never mind the top eight. So I think it's taken everyone a while to come to grips with the new format. But I think we've seen, as Mike was saying, with the amount of goals that have been scored this week, 71 goals, the clubs that have already been there getting to grips with the format, it's not made it any less entertaining.
No.
It's still been a lot of really, really exciting football, and that's great for us.
Every goal, every game mattered was one of the mantras last season. Bigger games earlier. You can absolutely see that across Europe. This week in particular, another two former winners met at Stamford Bridge. Chelsea against Ajax 5-1. Three penalties, all in the first half. A red card for Kenneth Taylor at 0-0. Andy, this one had pretty much everything. And the goal scoring finished in the 48th minute. It was absolutely frenetic fair.
It's remarkable. And I suppose, really, it's underlined how much Chelsea took from their UEFA Europa Conference League campaign last season under Enzo Maresca. It was a situation that really gave him, a coach who didn't have any experience of coaching in UEFA club competition, a way to plan out managing your team in a UEFA club competition. It feels to me as if it's worked very, very well for Chelsea in this opening little spell, because that really was reminiscent of some of their games that they played in the league phase of the Europa Conference League last year. I think, bearing in mind that when Ajax got it back to 2-1 with that Wout Weghorst penalty, you thought, OK, the door's edging open a little bit for them there, and all of a sudden Chelsea take that opportunity to do what good teams in the UEFA Champions League do so well: seize momentum and run with it. And that's exactly what they did.
A night as well for the teenagers. I mentioned that at the top. We've already spoken about a Bayern youngster who shone. Three of Chelsea's goal scorers. We had Estevao, this incredibly exciting Brazilian at the age of 18, getting off the mark with a penalty. We had Marc Guéhi scoring at the age of 19. Of course, he was prolific in the Conference League last season, but now in the Champions League. And we had someone who joined Chelsea at the age, or in the under eight category, Tyrique George, who also scored, coming all the way through the system. It's been a Wednesday. Who knows whether we might look back on this, the 22nd of October 2025, in 5-10 years. This was the night when not just those three, but many other teenagers tonight have really stood up and made their mark, Andy.
Yeah, they really have. And just to see them seize the moment, really, and build on a dream is absolutely fantastic. But I think that has been the thing, really, with Chelsea's project over the last couple of years. They've got a lot younger, and it's really interesting to see how they're going to apply that to a UEFA Champions League campaign. And in terms of what we were saying about grabbing momentum, seizing the momentum of the moment in the Champions League, what better way to do that than through young athletic players who are keen to really prove themselves?
Mike's got a smile because he thought this stat up as it happened,
Well, yeah, and I've just checked. I've looked at it very quickly. From what I can see, Remco Pasveer, who was the Ajax goalkeeper, vastly experienced, almost 42. He'll be 42 in a couple of weeks' time.
Yeah.
He is apparently the third oldest player to have ever featured in the UEFA Champions League. And it was he who faced the penalty from Estevao. He's 24 years older than Estevao.
That's absolutely.
And like Andy, I loved Andy's quote at halftime. What did you say at halftime?
There's nothing like scoring against your dad in the back garden. just in a UEFA club competition.
Absolutely.
Setting.
Remco Pasveer again, in terms of the longevity. Amazing to still be playing at the top level.
And he doesn't play that often either. He doesn't play that regularly, does he? So it's been amazing for him.
Chelsea then up to 11th in the league table, and Ajax at the moment 36th, still on 0 points, with five games to go for everybody in the league phase. Next, we'll go to another English team who hit five goals away from home, though. Liverpool fell behind at Eintracht Frankfurt. Very difficult place to go, as we know. And that is some response from Arne Slot's team to run out very comfortable winners in the end.
Yeah, it really is. And they really needed that. And you think, especially after going a goal down to Rasmus Christensen early on, it was going to take character to respond. There was always a feeling that Ugo Ekitike was going to do something tonight. Of course, he got the equaliser to get them back in it, and he really built his career at Eintracht Frankfurt, or rebuilt his nascent career at Eintracht Frankfurt. But a big night for another player returning to Germany. A couple of assists for Florian Wirtz, and a really, really good game for him tonight. What a strange start to the league phase for Eintracht Frankfurt. They win 5-1 on the opening day, and then they lose the next two games 5-1. I wonder which way the 5-1 will go on matchday four.
It's true. Definitely entertaining when they play. The celebration from Virgil van Dijk, when he made it, I think he put Liverpool 2-1 up at the time. There was a real roar from him, as if he knew how important that goal was, Mike. And Liverpool, again, another big hitter, another team expected by many to go far, showing their teeth and goals all over the pitch, which will delight Arne Slot.
Yeah, and it'll help them with a turnaround in their form as well. And so often we've seen Liverpool come up with late goals to win games, but just turn it around as they did tonight to get the win in such convincing fashion will be a big fillip for them and for Arne Slot.
Well, you mentioned Hugo Ekitike. We can hear from him now on a very special night.
Obviously, it was something special today for me to come back, I would say, at home. You know, I know everybody's here, so it was a special game for me. And obviously, win, that was important, and score my first goal also in Champions League. I'm really happy.
Yeah, he didn't celebrate out of respect for what Frankfurt gave to him and what he gave to Frankfurt before his move to Liverpool, but the Reds 5-1 winners. Let's move to Lisbon now. Another game absolutely packed full of incidents. Sporting coming from behind to beat Marseille, who took the lead, Andy. They've been in such wonderful form, Roberto De Zerbi's team, that they're top of Ligue 1, ahead of their eternal rivals, Paris Saint-Germain. So how impressive for Sporting to turn it round and pick up 3 points.
Very, very impressive indeed, because I think after conceding that goal, especially against a team in such great form, in such great fettle, who were brilliant last time out against Ajax,
yeah,
the Velodrome. And again, Igor Paixão with a brilliant opener for Marseille, just as he scored those first two goals against Ajax. Someone who's really feeling it in the UEFA Champions League. Of course, he'd already had a try of it with Feyenoord last season. Someone who's really ready, I think, to dominate in the Champions League. For Sporting to come back from there, especially after the manner of their defeat against Napoli in the last round, and get the win that they desperately needed, very, very impressive indeed. And seeing Alisson coming off the bench and having the decisive contribution. You were talking about young players, you know, Jenny Katamo with the equaliser, and then Alisson making the difference after coming off the substitutes bench. I think for Sporting did very well to keep their heads in what was quite a chaotic game at times.
Certainly was. They moving up the league table, though, the team from Lisbon, and up to 11th, on to 6 points. Marseille still in the top 24 places with 3 points from three games now. Two matches in the late kickoffs finished goalless. Atalanta nil, Slavia Praha nil in Bergamo. Great point for the team from Czechia. And it finished Monaco nil, Tottenham nil. Rob Daly was covering this game, and from what I could gather every time I looked at the monitor, Rob, the Tottenham goalkeeper, undoubtedly the hero.
A standout night, Chris, for Guglielmo Vicario, one of his best, I'd argue, in a Tottenham Hotspur shirt. Were it not for a string of outstanding saves he made on the night at Stade Louis II, Monaco would have come away with a victory, their first in this season's Champions League. He made four first-half saves, three of them to keep out a former Arsenal striker in Florent Balogun. The best of them, seeing Balogun wrap his boot around the ball from the edge of the box. He started to peel away as if he'd scored. Vicario got down to it, big left hand to turn it round the post. He also made an outstanding second-half save when Jordan Taser, 2 or 3 metres out, Chris, nodded an effort at goal. He palmed it away. Monaco had numerous chances, 23 attempts at the Spurs goal. Wow. In the end, 8 of them on target. Great chances for Monaco. They'll be really pleased with the performance. I think Spurs ultimately, given the way the game went, will be happy with the point.
How impressive has Sebastian Pocognoli looked? I guess first at Union Saint-Gilloise, of course, but he's not been at Monaco for long, but it sounds like he's got them clicking, you know, in the very short space of time he's been at the club.
And a clean sheet, a good thing for him as well, Chris, because they have been conceding a fair few goals in Liga, but they looked really solid at the back, played a kind of 3-4-3 system, nice and compact, but they were the team creating the majority of the chances. I really like the work of their front three as well. That's really encouraging. They had Akliush, now a France international, one side, Ansu Fati the other, and then Balogun up front, and the three of them were just perpetually working openings. Credit to Spurs, though, not only Vicario saves, but Kevin Danto in for the injured Romero at the moment, and Mickey van der Ven were absolutely crucial in keeping the score at 0-0.
Rob, top stuff, thank you very much for coming on. That is the seven late games, and we're going to look at the early kickoffs on this Champions League night.
UEFA Champions League Match Day Live with you wherever you go, with audio commentary, real-time stats and much, much more. Get the complete experience and download the official Champions League app today.
Yes, in the early games on Wednesday, Bodo Glimt made the trip to Istanbul to take on Galatasaray, whilst Athletic Club welcomed Karabag to San Mamés.
Osimhen! First kick of the ball is a goal. Seconds ago, he was down on the floor receiving treatment. Beware of the wounded striker. Oh, Osimhen, will he accept the gift? Gleefully! And he scores his second of the night. Thank you very much. This could be a third and putting to bed. Kept out once, but not the second time. Swept in. And Yunus Akgün makes it 3-0.
Tavern.
Can the goalkeeper can't get there, they do get a souvenir. Andreas Helmersen comes crashing in. A really good start for Karabag. They're in front already. Less than a minute on the clock and their fans in dreamland. Now, well-timed run it looks. Flag stays down. It's Guruzeta! 1-1. They're looking for the offside flag, Karabag. But I thought, first viewing, he timed that perfectly. Plenty forward here in red and white. So, what a finish. He's only been on a couple of minutes. But quite an entrance for Navarro. Robert Navarro with a picture book goal here. In comes the shot. Oh, what a finish. Gorka Guruzeta gets his second goal of the night. And that wraps up their first points, surely now in the Champions League this season.
Plenty of drama early on this Champions League Wednesday. Galatasaray 3, Bodo Glimt 1. Victor Osimhen, as you heard there, had a great evening. He was the official UEFA player of the match. Bodo Glimt, by the way, from a small town with a population of just around 50,000 people. And he travelling to Istanbul with a population of nearly 16 million people. And let's hear from Victor Osimhen, who had an excellent, excellent night.
I mean, first of all, this win is really important, and I'm happy for the performance myself and my teammate has put in. Of course, the opponent, they gave us a very tough time in the second half. And to be able to be part of history in this great club is an amazing feat for me. And I won't be able to do this without the help of my teammate and the coach and the staff. So I really say a big thank you. And also to the fans, I say a big thank you. And of course, we will continue to build on this momentum.
He's having an excellent season so far, Victor Osimhen. The other early game, Athletic Club 3, Karabag 1. You heard the commentary. Our reporter Andrea De Ferrata was inside San Mames, and we began by speaking about the night's action.
Crucial victory for Athletic Club here at San Mames that keeps their Champions League hopes alive and gives them their first win in the competition. Ernesto Valverde's side responded brilliantly after conceding the opening goal to Karabag, turning into a relentless force that created numerous scoring chances. Well-deserved win for Athletic, their first 3 points in the competition, which will sure give them a big boost of confidence for the coming matches.
Talk to us about the atmosphere at San Mames. It looked amazing. You experienced it. And for anybody listening who hasn't been to this stadium, why is it so special?
Yeah, exactly. As you say, the atmosphere here at San Mames is always absolutely incredible. The fans never stop cheering and make the stadium feel like a true fortress. There was a full house today with almost, I think, 51,000 fans once again. And yes, you said, I've been lucky enough to experience the Champions League match that Athletic has played here at home. And even though they have lost their previous two, the fans are always behind the players. Today, the support was nonstop from the start to finish, and in every match they play, no matter what time and the weather, it's always full. And for me, it's without a doubt one of the best fan bases in Europe.
Definitely an away day for anybody to go on. And how important now is the next game for Athletic Club when they travel to Newcastle in England?
Yeah, exactly. The coming Champions League match will be crucial for Athletic Club. Thanks to this important victory, Ernesto Valverde's team can approach the next game with greater confidence and determination. As you said, Athletic will play on November 5 against Newcastle at St. James Park, which is always a tough place to go with a very passionate crowd. Then on November 25, they travel to Prague to face Slavia Praga. And the highlight will be on December 10 at San Mames, here when the host huge match for the fans and for the team.
Some brilliant fixtures to look forward to. That's going to be loud at San Mames for that game. Andrea De Ferrata giving some great insights there. They're 21st in the current league table after that victory. Mike, you've been doing some number crunching.
Yeah, just on the table, we were mentioning earlier about last season, because it was the first season of the new format, a lot of clubs, including some of the bigger clubs, were trying to find their feet, and they certainly have this season so far. Because if you look at the top eight, five of the top eight are UCL winners of the past. Obviously, Paris won it last season. Two more have been finalists, Dortmund more than once. Newcastle are the only team in there that haven't reached the final. And then just outside, in 9th, 10th and 11th, you have three more winners in Barcelona, Liverpool and Chelsea, all on 6 points. So they're all up there. They're all up there, there or thereabouts. Apart from Juventus.
Yeah, actually means that the battle to finish in the top eight is going to be really, really good, as well as the battle to finish in the top 24 positions. It's interesting you say that, because the next match day, and it's not far away, Tuesday the 4th of November, that it begins. Paris against Bayern, Liverpool against Real Madrid. As we mentioned, it promised bigger games earlier. I mean, that if you'd said that's the semi-finals, I don't think anyone would have.
No.
Anyone would be surprised.
No. And what you're saying about the battle for the top eight, Chris, it does feel as if it'll be even tighter this year. There are just simply too many good teams for that top eight.
Yeah. Absolutely. Can't wait to enjoy it all. And every night, Matchday Live has the goals as they go in all the way through to that amazing evening at the end of January, when everybody kicks off at the same time. And it is absolute chaos from the first whistle to the last. Just a quick recap. Gents, you were watching Real Madrid beat Juventus, and we can hear now from Arda Güler, who was asked why he was surprised to be handed the UEFA Player of the Match award.
Because I don't play for that. I play just to take the win. So I didn't know I was MVP. So thank you. I feel very good. Congrats for all the teammates. And thank you very much for all of the fans that they support us. We were very good today and we took the 3 points.
Arda Güler there. Interesting. Because it was absolutely deserved, but showing Andy what an immense team player he is and what a talent the Turkish international is.
Yeah, that's right. And I think the way he looked for so many different ways to open the game up. So from central positions, trying to cross from wide. I think there were so many people looking to either him or to Kenan Yildiz to open the game up.
Yeah.
And Yildiz, in parts, looked as if he was Juventus's best option. But I think it was really a tribute to how well Real Madrid defended as well that he wasn't able to.
Moment of the night. It's always a difficult question with so much going on. Mike, from the Bernabeu or from anywhere else, what really stood out?
I was really impressed by the double save from Di Gregorio. I know they lost the game, but that first save from Mbappe, which is a really powerful rising shot, he used his hands to parry it, strong arms, and then he blocked the rebound from Diaz. So for me, that was the highlight of the night.
I think I would take Courtois stopping Vlahovic scoring, or if we're looking elsewhere, Lennart Kahl's first UEFA Champions League goal.
Yeah, one of the teenagers to shine on this Champions League Wednesday. Mike, Andy, thank you very much. Don't forget you can download the official UEFA Champions League podcast shortly after every match night of this season's competition, and Matchday Live back Tuesday the 4th of November, as we just mentioned. Some absolute crackers, including Paris against Bayern and Liverpool against Real Madrid. Just two of the nine fixtures that evening. As usual, we'll be on air from 8:45 in the evening CET with commentary and updates, keeping you across the goals as they go in from the night's action. Until then, for me, Chris Parrott, and the rest of the team, it is goodbye.
You've been listening to the official UEFA Champions League podcast.